South Africa have been to the Junior World Cup this year. They've been to the Senior World Cup this year. They've been to the Commonwealth Games. They have Nations Cup still loading. It's been an action-packed year, and someone who has had ringside seats to the show, to the entertainment, to the glory, is our guest tonight as Hockey the Podcast spends some time with Ntatile Zulu, and we discuss her year, her career, and her plans going forward. All of that and more in this episode of Hockey the Podcast. Yes, it's none other than Tati Zulu. Tati, welcome to Hockey the Podcast. Long overdue, but it is absolutely awesome to have this time to chat with you tonight about all things hockey.
Thank you so much for having me. You know, there's nothing better than speaking about my passion. So I'm great that I'm able to, you know, make my debut on the podcast.
Yeah, and talking about your passion. So ladies and gents, welcome. We are going to be talking about origami for the next 30 minutes. Daddy's going to tell me how to fold a paper airplane. Actually, do you know any origami?
Well, I used to do some origami in school.
No way.
Not so much a passion.
You know, you can't make these things up. Well, Tati, I haven't brought you here to talk about origami. It's not Origami the Podcast. No, it is Hockey the Podcast. And what a year it's been for South African hockey. After the pain of COVID, after the disappointment of delays, all of a sudden, 2022 has been the year that hockey has given. And you've had a front row seat to the adventure. We had the Junior World Cup in Potchefstroom. You went through with the team to the Senior World Cup in Spain and Netherlands, and of course to the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham, and that's not where it stops. Of course, over and above that, there's been an IPT, there's been club hockey, there's varsity sports coming up, there's been a USA. I think you were probably away for USA, if I'm not wrong, but also a Nations Cup at the end of the year. It is an absolutely action-packed calendar, and as I said, most players would hope to play in one World Cup in a year. You played in two and a Commonwealth Games. I mean, do you sit there in Pretoria and have to pinch yourself to like realize what a year it's been?
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, coming from last year where we had, you know, the last 2 years in COVID, barely any hockey and tournaments. It's really nice to have a jam-packed year, you know, and with that comes a lot of experience, I guess. You know, I went to a Junior World Cup in the beginning of the year, which prepared me for World Cup and Comm Games that I was lucky enough to be selected for. So yeah, I think without a doubt, my varsity teammates have also helped me get through this year, and my coach as well, which is Inky Zondi, as most of you know. And I was lucky enough to also have him there throughout my journey from 2019 to now. So yeah, it's been really exciting. It's been overwhelming. And sometimes I think I forget to kind of reflect and look back at, you know, my experience, my achievements, you know, because you're constantly striving to become better every day and you're constantly working to the next tournament. You know, I've got Varsity Cup coming up. And on top of that, I'm trying to get into the team for the Nations Cup, which is in December. So I think something that I'm going to try improve is just acknowledging my previous tournaments and performances.
Well, we have to start with the Junior World Cup because South Africa got to host it. Of course, it was supposed to be in December last year. And then, of course, yes, we got red-listed as teams were on their way here. That in itself was immensely disappointing for you. It must have felt like the carpet was pulled out from under your feet. And not just that, it must have really felt like there was no way this tournament's ever going to happen.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, last year we were told, oh no, the tournament's happening in December. You know, after the whole COVID situation, we were all motivated to really play in December. And when we got told, we were all just so disappointed. We're like, it was ever going to happen. And a lot of us were over the age of 21. And, you know, with Junior World Cup, you're only allowed to play if you're under 21. So we were worried that we weren't going to get the opportunity to experience, I guess, junior international hockey. So I don't know, we were just really happy when it happened this year. And even better, it was, you know, at home, which made it extra special because we were able to experience everything with our parents as well.
And again, the question there, you know, how long before the tournament did you know they were going to accept you as an under 22?
So I think we got told a few months before. You know, the communication came quite late in terms of the protocols for the tournament and if we're going to be allowed to play or not. So a lot of us were on edge as to whether or not we're going to, you know, represent our country at a junior level. And it was kind of a little bit sad because the majority of us in the team were actually over the age of 21. And we obviously have different goals and ambitions, and we're really looking forward to it. So when we heard that, you know, we were able to participate, a lot of us were really happy and relieved. So, yeah, I really can't complain about that. I'm really happy that I got to experience junior international hockey.
Well, and it probably worked out a little bit beneficial for you because in December, it wasn't long after RPT, you were nursing the shoulder injury.
Definitely.
Did it work out that you were playing a Junior World Cup fully fit rather than carrying a concern?
Yeah, it's actually crazy. It worked out so well for me, you know, with the Junior World Cup moving to this year. So last year at IPT, I actually injured my shoulder, and I wasn't 100% sure if I was going to be able to get back in time for the Junior World Cup in December. You know, I was planning on playing, but I would say it was going to be a 50-50 chance as to how much game time I was going to get. So I was very desperate. I was, you know, anxious. I don't know what to do. I kept on messaging my coach, asking her whether or not I'm going to be ready in time. So I did a lot of rehab. And luckily enough, I was able to play in this year, April, you know, and I was 100% fit, which I'm really, really happy about.
Yeah, you were 100% fit. But we got to Potchefstroom, and we took on England, and it was almost a little bit of a culture shock. It was a tough game against an English side who were probably there for the beating on the day. No disrespect meant there. But do you think that was a lesson that's held you in good stead for how to get over disappointment subsequently in the year?
I think definitely, you know, we went into that first game, you know, with a lot of belief, excitement, you know, and it was kind of, I think, a wake-up call for a lot of us because a lot of us hadn't experienced international hockey before. So for us, it was a realization of where we were at and what the competition brought, you know. We had to start on our A game from the first game. And it took us a while to actually wake up and, you know, perform to the best of our abilities. And, you know, if I recall, I'd say the toughest game that I experienced at Junior World Cup was definitely against the English side. They were very, very physical. And you could really feel it throughout the whole game, from what I recall. So, yeah, it was definitely a wake-up call for a lot of us. And we did a lot of introspection. And, yeah, I guess that gave us a boost into the games that we had after that.
And, yeah, exactly that. We had some cracking games. The game against Ireland was a superb game. Probably my favorite was the first half of our game against USA. Disappointment against Korea, but against USA, that first half, we were absolutely all over them. I mean, I know we did allow them back into the game, but overall, team finishing seventh, equally the highest ever finish by a South African junior team at a World Cup, that's pretty damn special, don't you think?
Definitely. I think a lot of the passion came from the disappointment in our previous game against Korea. You know, we thought we were going to be able to at least make you know, a top four. So it was a little bit disappointing because we had worked so hard for the Ireland game, and then the Korea game came and we just let it slip. So for us, it was really important that we ended well. And yeah, a lot of us aren't going to play will not be with each other for a really long time again. So that was one point that was mentioned in our meeting. And I think we played for each other, and we played for all the years that we've been training together. So yeah, it was very special to end off on a high. And yeah, a lot of the people we might not see again, we might play with, we're not too sure. So yeah, it was good to end on a high note.
Yeah, it's a good point you make, because, you know, as you say, for many players, that's the pinnacle of their hockey career. They get to represent their country at a Junior World Cup, and they never really make the step up to senior. You, of course, have transitioned to the senior team quite naturally. Of course, you had already played a couple of games pre-COVID, the African qualifier, a bit of a spring chicken in the side back then. But you're now already starting to become one of the seasoned pros in the team. 28 caps to your name, and in those caps is a World Cup, the Olympic Games, and the Commonwealth Games. I mean, if I had told you that at the age of 22 you would already have featured in those three tournaments, would you have believed me?
No freaking way. I wouldn't have believed you. It's been crazy. You know, ever since my call-up in 2019, you know, things have just fallen in place. And, yeah, it's actually crazy that, you know, I was able to achieve, I'm able to achieve so much already. You know, I've had goals and ambitions, but I didn't think it would come, this soon. So I'm just like really grateful that I'm able to get the opportunity to represent my country, especially being one of the youngsters in the team. You know, in the past, there were just a lot of experienced players in the team, but it's really nice to see that they're including more young, talented players into the setup.
And they are. And I mean, obviously, you look in the team, and if we go into just the team that played at the World Cup, I mean, there's a number of young players who had a handful of caps and showed some wonderful, wonderful performances. I mean, you've got Edith Madikwe at that stage, 19 caps, yourself in the 20s, Hannah Pierce, who had just reached 30 caps, and you're all 23 and younger. Matapelo, Krista, Ramasimong, of course, she made her debut. Jean-Louis Dutoy, who captured the imagination of the world, specifically at the Commonwealth Games. Kayla Duvall, Henry Lowe, even Nepo Saraha, who obviously didn't play at the World Cup, but was there with the team and got her first games against Wales after that. I mean, does that make it... You know, sometimes, you know, you go into a team like that and there's Lisa Dietlis with over 250 caps, Quinita Bobs, Bernadette Costin, Lillian Duplessis, and even FIH Goalkeeper of the Year nominee, Pumelela Mbanda. And these are huge names in South African hockey. They are names that are they're quite intimidating to be around. Does having a lot more of the young players around just make that transition a little easier for you?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, I played with Edith, Henri and John Lee at Junior World Cup, and I played with them at the University of Pretoria, as we were all four at the University of Pretoria. So having them there definitely does help the transition, as well as our coach, who's part of the coaching staff. So it definitely makes it much easier, because, I mean, it's never easy being a part of something that you've never been a part of. You know, there's always a lot of, you know, doubts as to whether or not you'll perform, you know, to the level that everyone else is performing. So, yeah, it's definitely made it much easier having them there and more comfortable.
And, of course, you know, we often say it's so hard to make your mark, but I just want to play a quick little clip to talk about how you did make your mark at the World Cup. Zulu, can she go and lovely cut back from Zulu? Of course, Zulu around the back. Zulu, can she find the ball back? Zulu. Zulu, yeah, lovely play from Zulu. Now got the penalty corner. He got it again. Zulu around the back. Zulu, can she find the ball back? Zulu, the penalty corner. Zulu is taking this game by the scruff of the neck in the second half. Down this right hand side. Get the ball. Just go for it. And for those who want to see it, a video by the FIH where it finishes with where legends are made. And it really is talking about how you were the catalyst behind an incredible comeback arguably one of the best games of hockey I've seen South African women play in a very long time. 3-0 down against Japan. We drew 3-3, and in fact, we were very unlucky not to win that game. I mean, that must be, in your mind, one of the greatest games you've ever played.
No, it definitely was. We were 3-0 down, and I just remember our coach saying that we need to use our strengths, you know, and just basically identifying what your strengths are and using them to the benefit of the team. And for me, that was obviously making those baseline runs, bringing the ball into the D, and just connecting with my teammates. So for me, I was trying to concentrate on that, because obviously when it comes to a loss, there's a lot of things going through your mind, you know, whether it being positive or negative thoughts. But in that moment, I thought to myself, okay, you know, how can I bring my strengths, you know, in order to get a better opportunity at scoring or something that's beneficial to the team at that time. So yeah, it was a bit overwhelming because I was able to receive player of the match that game. But yeah, it was definitely with the help of my teammates. I mean, it was a crazy match. I'll never forget that match.
Well, and you know, yes, you did get player of the match. It was the kind of performance that, you know, we used to see the likes of Shelley Russell doing for South Africa for years, marauding runs down the side. I mean, the only thing your performance missed in the end was your own goal, because you were so dominant. You were setting up things, you were creating things, you were winning penalty corners. And, of course, you're yet to tick that box, get the international goal. Is that a big target sitting on your horizon?
It definitely is a big target, considering that I'm a striker, but I don't want to force things, you know, so I'm just trying to focus on the process of possibly getting a goal, and I think it'll just come at its own time, you know, as long as I'm adding my value that is beneficial to the team, then I'm happy with that. But obviously I do want to score goals. I'm a striker, so yeah, I'm crossing fingers for Nations Cup in the upcoming you know, tournaments if I do make the team. So, yeah, that's definitely something that's on my bucket list that I'm looking to tick off.
Listen, I say this with all due respect. I don't care if you score goals if you play like you did against Japan. that was a sensational performance. Of course, you guys were also away from home for a very long time. It's the longest tour you've had in your life so far. What was the biggest challenge of that?
Oh, wow. I'd say towards the end of the World Cup, I started getting really, really homesick. You know, you're away from family and friends, who you've kept in contact with almost, you know, or see almost at least, you know, every day or, you know, once in a while. So for me, the biggest, I'd say challenge was being away from family and friends and just connecting with everyday people. You know, people think, oh no, we're on a tour, you know, we're able to keep in contact over the phone, but it's not the same as, you know, being in person and interacting with people in everyday life. You know, we're constantly staying with the same people for 3 months. It gets to a point where everyone gets so sick of each other and you just miss, you know, the people you spend majority of your time with.
100%. And obviously there are certain players in a team that you bond with even better and you become really good friends with, and they are probably the person that you use to escape the team environment every now and again with. Who is that for you?
Sure, actually quite a few of them. I'd say Edith, John Lee, Henry, you know, Marizen, Lee, Nepo, Bianca. So, yeah, we connected a lot, which was really nice. And, I mean, if you spend that much time with people, you end up building a bond. So it was really nice to have those friendships that formed over time. And, yeah, they were basically home away from home in a sense.
And any post-tour blues?
Yeah, most definitely. But luckily enough, my mother and my cousins were able to come join me at the Commonwealth Games. So they were there supporting me, which was very, very special. It was the first time that my mom came to watch me abroad. And it was my first, like, tournament abroad, or second tournament abroad. So it was really nice to have my family there. And it definitely made things much better after, you know, a tough World Cup.
Yeah, look, and so obviously the World Cup started nicely with the Japan result, getting us into the crossovers. We really tested Germany, but the lack of turnaround time cost us against Ireland and ultimately. Yeah. But, you know, a lot of teams, that's it. You'd end the tournament, you would go home, you would reassess and you'd have some debriefs, but you weren't afforded that opportunity because a couple of days later, you were then in the UK, you were then in Wales and having to play a little series against Wales, three matches, all official test caps. And then straight back to Birmingham for the Commonwealth Games and a very, very tough start to the tournament against Scotland and, of course, former indoor South African player Heather McEwen. Yeah, I mean, how hard was the transition that you weren't able to really digest what had happened at World Cup and had to dive straight back in to another tour?
Yeah, no, it was, I'd say, really draining mentally and physically, knowing that we had another tournament, but we also knew what we had to do. You know, it's not like we didn't know that we had two tournaments. We knew it was going to be a long, a long tour away from home. So for a lot of us, you know, we had to reboot and go again. You know, as difficult as it was, we had to reboot and go again because we had another tournament to perform at. And, you know, we had a second chance at trying to prove to ourselves how good we are and how we've made progress over the past few months, you know, with the new coach coming in. So for us, I think we tried to stay as positive as possible, you know, and as soon as we started getting into that first game, you know, we all knew what our goal was. And when we lost that first game, it hit us deep, a lot of us, because, you know, we had just come back from a series with Wales. We had just, you know, reassessed everything and, you know, we've gotten into a new tournament. But when we lost that first game, you know, a lot of us were upset, disappointed, and in a sense, I guess, lost, if you want to put it in that way. Because, you know, in order to get a chance at being in the top four at the Commonwealth Games, you know, we had to win the first few games. Which were the lower-ranked teams compared to the other teams that we were going to play. So for us, that was very disappointing because we definitely wanted a different result.
Yeah, so, I mean, it obviously was. And we started that game well, you know. We led 2-1, Lisa scoring two goals, which didn't happen very often. Do you think the fact that we had been on tour so long that we were that we had played a lot of games and that they hadn't really gone our way. Do you think there was an overarching there, or do you think just Scotland just played better on the day?
I don't think Scotland really played better on the day. I think they just took their opportunities when they had them, you know. We were 2-1 up, and I think our game management wasn't that great. And, yeah, we just let the game slip, really. As much as you're 2-1 ahead, you know, anything can happen in a match. And I think that was our biggest lesson, that, you know, we mustn't get complacent throughout the game. And we must just keep playing the hockey that we are capable of playing till the last minute, because then situations like this happen. There's definitely hope that, you know, there's been progress in the team from, I would say, certain chapters that people have watched. It's just now a thing of trying to get more consistent I'd say, performances throughout the Chuckers.
Yeah, and of course it did end on a high. We managed to get the goal that we desperately wanted against Wales, winning that game 1-0. And of course, once again, you were an architect. You played an absolutely cracking ball across the goal, and it was the kind of good ball that deserved a goal. And fortunately for you and for us as South African fans, Lillian was there and finished really superb. I actually thought it's not the easiest finish, but she made it look super easy the way she did it. And that was that. That was 1-0, and that is our most recent international game, ending on a high. I know you want the goal, but it must make you feel really good when you do provide an assist like that.
No, most definitely. You know, an assist is just as good as the goal scorer. That's something I've just, you know, thought about. And funny enough, that day, Lillian and I were actually accountability buddies. And we basically just state, I'd say, maybe 2 points that we'd like to achieve throughout the game. And then we review it after the game. And, you know, when I was able to pass that ball across the goal to her, I was just so happy. I, like, literally ran to her and gave her the biggest hug. So, yeah, it was a really nice moment for me to assist the team in getting that win. You know, we only won by 1-0. So it was actually quite a tense game because we had obviously played them in the series. So, and we drew in that series. So, you know, there was a lot of tension with that game because we knew how we both played. So, yeah, I was just happy with the win, to be honest.
Yeah, and it's a nice way to end things off. Of course, the big win against Kenya was also enjoyable. Not least for Jean-Louis Dutoit, who put away goals for fun in that game. But of course, you guys came back, and one of the things that Giles wanted was he wanted a lot of you, pretty much unless there was an injury, to play at the RPT. And so you didn't really have a lot of time off before you had refocus and joined your Northern Blues team. And of course, in the next episode of Hockey the Podcast, I'm actually chatting with four players from your team. As we talk about the RPT, we were going to invite you, and then we thought, no, Tati deserves her own podcast. She doesn't need to come on a group one. But, you know, jokes aside, it was a fantastic tournament. You guys were tested quite a lot on your way to the title. It was at times a very, very tough tournament for you. And I suppose from a national point of view, we saw a lot of people putting their hands up to say, hey, Giles, I'm here, consider me.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say for me, this tournament was more refreshing, you know, coming from the past two tournaments, you know, to play with different people, different faces, to, you know, have a different coach. I guess sometimes it's really nice just to, you know, challenge myself and to keep me sane and going. And that's something I think I definitely do need. So yeah, I honestly am not complaining about, the hockey that I've, you know, had this whole year. And, you know, the Northern Blues people just made it even extra special because, you know, it's been a long time since I've played for Northern Gauteng. I think the last time I played for them was 2018 when I was still in school. Because after that, I started playing for the SA Under 21 during IPT for the past few years. So, yeah, it was really nice to be back with the girls, and it was extra special because, you know, we were able to win it. It definitely wasn't easy, but I think the belief and the passion that we all had in each other and, you know, in the coach really, really helped.
Yeah, you say it was tough. I mean, probably the toughest game was against the SA Under-21s, and that was in the semi-final. Of course, it was also the Furie sisters battling each other. But more than that, a little bit of, you know, that's the team you captain, and there's a few of your ex-teammates still playing for the SA Under-21s. It's Lenise Marej, your ex-coach, Marcel Keats. They're all still there. And I know it went all the way to shootouts, and it was a thrilling game, and Anel van Deventer in goals was superb. Of course, it went to shootouts, and you guys managed to score 3 out of 3, including your own. to begin with. When you were taking on Morgan, did you know what you were going to do before you got up there? Did you have a plan, or were you just reacting to whatever she was going to do?
To be honest, I didn't have a plan. You know, a lot was going through my mind. I was like, okay, no, I just need to score this goal and make sure that, you know, the team gets through. I honestly, I usually don't have a plan when I do my 8 seconds. I usually go for what the keeper does. So yeah, on that day, I decided to move her to the left and then score towards the right, which was, yeah, successful.
Yeah, it worked. And obviously, it led you guys through to the final, where you were able to beat Western Province. But I think more interesting now for the listeners is, you know, which players impressed you in this tournament? Which players do you think put their hands up and we can expect to see, maybe not this year, but maybe in the near future, representing at a higher level?
Oh, wow. I don't mean to be biased or anything.
You can be biased. It's okay.
But I definitely think my teammate Zante Fonseil, I think she's worked really hard. So she definitely did surprise me, and definitely obviously a lot of the SA Under 21 girls, which I always support, because I mean, you have young talented players who, you know, are making things interesting and are always giving people a challenge. And I think one of the girls also who impressed me, I think her name is Ntopa, in the SA Under 21 side. I think she's definitely going to go far. And she does remind me of me a little bit when I was younger.
Yeah, when you were younger. To all our listeners who are thinking, sure.
In my school
even a 22-year-old can say, when I was younger. Of course, that is Ntopa Makwena, who represented Free State last year. She, of course, played for South Africa at the Hockey Fives in Switzerland, played now recently for the SA Under-18s, and I wouldn't be surprised if she's part of the larger squad under Giles. She's a diminutive, you know, explosive talent, but she's going to have to try and get past Tati Zulu for that role in the team, and you obviously got the role. You want to hold on to it with both hands as tightly as possible. But of course, it's the weirdest thing is your hockey right now. So you've just played at the World Cup. You've played against Australia. You've played against Ireland. You've played against Germany. You played at the Junior World Cup playing the likes of Netherlands. I mean, and most of those Dutch girls are playing Hoofde class of hockey. And you come back and in 2 weeks' time, it's Varsity Cup. I mean, are you still able to get yourself as fired up for a Varsity Cup game as an international game?
Most definitely. You know, I think for me, this is a big deal because, you know, the whole year I've been away from the team, from my university team. And when you're away, it really does, you know, make a huge impact on your teammates. So just being back and being able to experience the varsity life with my teammates and the varsity training, it's something I definitely miss. So that's why I'm so amped to be back, to be playing with the girls, because I haven't played with them in a really, really long time. And, you know, we've got really, really good players, and I'm just happy to be amongst people my age playing in a tournament that's so exciting and is meant to be fun for varsity students.
Yeah, and of course, because of COVID, it hasn't happened the last couple of years. You haven't really had the opportunity to experience properly, but it is happening. It is a very reduced tournament, just a semi-final, final round, just the top four teams, but it's still another opportunity to play varsity hockey. Of course, for the listeners, you are at university. How are you balancing your studies with all the hockey?
Am I even balancing my studies? But yeah, Tyrone, it's been really difficult, especially with the Olympic year last year. So I had to extend my studies by a year because I missed really, really important exams last year. So that's something that I had to sacrifice. But luckily enough, this year is my final year at university. I finished my studies in a BCom in business management. I think it's just trying to stay on top of things. And whenever I have classes or lectures, I make contact with friends who are in the same classes with me and try get as much information as possible, notes, and important points that are made in class. So luckily enough, I have friends in the same classes as me who are able to update me on what's going on. And I'm able to write my exams and tests now, luckily, since I've been back.
Yeah, and it's an interesting thing. Obviously, COVID did change things a little because we embraced the world of virtual learning a little bit more. But as much as that's made things easier, it's probably also made things challenging because people are like, it doesn't matter if you're remote, you need to stay up to date.
Definitely. I think just trying to manage your day a bit better and not getting lazy, I guess. I'd say remote learning would have helped this year more than anything else because of the amount of, you know, hockey that we've been playing and the amount of tournaments that have happened this year. Because just before World Cup, I missed the GB series because I had to finish writing my exams, which were very important because it's my final year. So I couldn't miss that. And Henry and I flew down to meet the team, I think a few days later, because they had left, 5 days or 6 days before us because we had to finish writing our exams.
Yeah, it's incredibly tough, but it also is just a reminder that hockey is, many, many countries around the world, an amateur sport. It's in some countries a semi-professional sport, and in very few is it considered professional. So the question is, Tati, from a hockey point of view, where to from here?
From a hockey point of view, obviously, you know, I have goals and ambitions to possibly make the 2024 Olympic team. And I graduate this year, so I'm looking to possibly play overseas in maybe the next 2 coming years or 3 years. I haven't made my decision yet. So just to get a bit more experience and exposure from that extent. It's exciting. It's overwhelming. It's daunting because there's a lot of change that happens over the years, but it's definitely good to have change sometimes.
And from a working point of view, are you, how soon are you looking to start getting into the professional world?
You sound like my mother asking me that question.
I'll take that as a compliment. Thanks, Mrs. Judith.
From a working point of view, I'm not sure when I'm going to start working, but I definitely want to work in the marketing industry or business management industry. That's something I see myself doing, especially with the social media that I have as well. And the people are on board with me and supporting me and, just sponsoring me. So from that aspect, I'm not too sure when I'm going to start working, but I can definitely start working next year. Who knows? I don't know. We'll see what happens.
There you heard it. Tati's going to start on the side helping Hockey, the magazine and podcast with stuff. We'll get talking. But, Tati, around the world you have sports stars that have iconic looks. You had Marouane Fellaini from Belgium who played in the Premier League, and he had that big afro, and when he shaved it off, everybody complained. We had Sibusiso Zuma. For many years, he had that peroxided hair, and when he dyed it, everyone was like, no. Sipiwe Tshabalala had the trademark dreads, and, it just wasn't the same without it. There's a couple of guys who had trademark beards. Now, have you started to consider whether your braids that you wear and the bright blonde that you have in them, is that your trademark and will it change? Because it would just now not look right without it.
It's actually crazy that people have noticed my blonde braids, like, as my iconic look. And I only thought it was my iconic look until it was recognized, you know, on the, I think it was the Netherlands, one of the articles that was posted about my hair. And a lot of the tournaments that I've been to, I've only ever had blonde braids, funny enough. And I usually do change my hair color because that's something I just enjoy doing. I find it really cool. I'm able to express myself. But yeah, I found that the blonde really does suit me, and I've gone with it majority of the time throughout the year. So it's something I will definitely consider with the upcoming tournaments if I make certain teams. You know, I have to make sure that I get my blonde braids done before the tournaments so that people can recognize me.
You know, with your social media expertise, your braids have grown enough of character through how many mentions they got at Junior World Cup as well as Senior World Cup that they potentially could have their own Instagram account.
Most definitely. And, you know, the lady who's actually done my hair has done my hair for the past 10 years. So I've been really lucky to have the same person do my hair for the past 10 years, which is super cool. That's something that possibly people don't know about me. But the lady who does my hair, there's only one lady who does my hair, and she comes, you know, to my house to do it, which is really, really nice of her.
You know, there's so many great stories in the world of hockey. Your story and your rise to the top over the past 12 months really has been something really, really awesome to see. We look forward to seeing you represent the country again later this year at the FIH Nations Cup. God willing, you are fit and healthy and selected, and we can make more incredible stories with you. And hopefully we get you back on the podcast when you're telling everybody about the hat-trick that you scored to win the game for South Africa.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, it's very exciting, and thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And yeah, it just, I'm playing not only for myself, but for all the other people watching, and, you know, all the little girls who possibly want to play hockey for South Africa one day.
And you're doing such a great job. Tati Zulu, South African superstar already. She's just 22 years old. Thanks for joining us. This has been another episode of Hockey the Podcast. It's 120 something now. So if you're bored and you want to go back and listen, give a listen. Go leave a rating. And of course, at the end of the month, check us out in the African Podcasters and VoiceOver Artist Award. We are nominated for the Best African Sports Podcast. And we'll find out where we sit on the pecking order at the end of the month. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, and see you on the turf.